SVY Sonoma.
Programming for KSVY is brought to you in part by Body Best Collision Center, which provides auto body repair, painting, and detailing, is located at 1964 8th Street East in Sonoma. For more information, you may call 707-996-2470. Myers Financial, located at 670 West Napa Street in Sonoma. Myers Financial is a boutique wealth management firm. So whether you need personal or business financial management, wealth management, tax planning, or income tax preparation, Myers Financial is here to help. For more information, you can call Lillian at 800-734-1124 or visit their website at MyersFinancial.com. Larbre Automotive and Tina Schoen, Broker Associate, Sotheby's International Realty, located on the beautiful Sonoma Plaza. Tina Schoen is a professional real estate broker in wine country real estate acquisitions and sales. She and her team of professionals work in all categories and price ranges to market your property internationally and find you the right property to fit your needs. For more information regarding wine country real estate, you may call Tina at 707-933-1515 or visit her website at realestate-sonomavalley.com.
Sonoma State Historic Park and Petaluma Adobe State Historic Park are inviting docents to learn about the history of these unique locations. Docents are trained to lead tours and interpret exhibits at these historical sites, and this unique opportunity is open to all. The upcoming docent training session will be held on February 20th and 21st and March 5th. If you'd like more information to register, you can contact Ari DeMarco at 707-939-2149.
Welcome to Sustainable Growing with Quarter Acre Farm, a show about living a local lifestyle with advice for gardeners and farmers alike. I'm your host, Andrea Davis Satina, farmer of Quarter Acre Farm in Sonoma Valley. Today's show is about protecting open space and farmland. My guest is Terry Shore of Greenbelt Alliance, but first, notes from the farm. The weather has been so sunny and warm, it's hard to remember it's February. Here in Sonoma, we have gotten very few rainstorms this month, but it's not the lack of precipitation that worries me right now. It is the balmy days. With temperatures in the 70s and some days even hitting the 80s, the plants are coming out of dormancy. The mustard is in full bloom and the fruit trees are full of branches with buds about to burst into flower. Cold freezing temperatures are an important part of the winter season. Perennial crops like grapes, apples, and plums need chill hours, which are roughly the number of hours between the temperatures of 32 to 45 degrees Fahrenheit. Dormancy is needed for healthy plants, and that is triggered by a certain minimum exposure to chilling temperatures. Lack of such exposure results in delayed and substandard flowering and fruiting. We have had some periods of cold temperatures this winter, but we need more before the plants are truly ready for springtime weather. Keep planting, weeding, and watering, and we'll be right back with today's guest.
We got to reintroduce the grizzly bear. We got to reintroduce the grizzly bear. Got to reintroduce the grizzly bear. I say California needs a bear to clean up around here. We'll start small, maybe about 10 pair. We'll get them feeding well off them young millionaires. We'll monitor their progress with a satellite collar. Oh, the big brown bear's gonna clean up around here. We got to reintroduce the grizzly bear. We got to reintroduce the grizzly bear. We got to reintroduce the grizzly bear. I say California needs a bear to clean up around here. And our hope is there will be people to eat.
The price of houses will again be cheap. Those that survive will prosper and thrive. Those that don't will move or die. We got to reintroduce the grizzly bear. We got to reintroduce the grizzly bear. We got to reintroduce the grizzly bear. I say California needs a bear to clean up around here. Soccer mom being mauled at the mall. California won't seem so sunny anymore. We got traffic and condos real thick, but that big brown bear's gonna solve that real quick. We got to reintroduce the grizzly bear. We got to reintroduce the grizzly bear. We got to reintroduce the grizzly bear. I say California needs a bear to clean up around here. I say California needs a bear to clean up around here. I say California needs a bear to clean up around here.
I'd like to welcome Terry Shore. Terry leads advocacy efforts to protect open space and encourage smart growth in the North Bay. An accomplished environmental and conservation campaigner, Terry has lived in the town of Sonoma for 25 years and grew up in Marin in San Francisco. Before joining Greenbelt Alliance, Terry directed marine conservation campaigns to protect endangered marine species, sustainable fisheries, and oceans at the state, national, and international level. As program director at Turtle Island Restoration Network, she helped create safe havens and protections for endangered sea turtles and marine mammals along the California coast and the Gulf of Mexico. Previously, Terry directed ocean campaigns at Friends of the Earth, focused on greening the world's ports and shipping fleets, where she achieved stringent new passenger ferry admission standards and pollution laws for cruise ships and ocean-going vessels. When not working as the North Bay region director of the Greenbelt Alliance, Terry's an avid backpacker and wilderness advocate, leading Sierra Club backpack trips for the San Francisco Bay chapter. Hi, Terry. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Good afternoon.
I'm very excited to have you on because I think that the work that the Greenbelt Alliance does is amazing. And I want to just start off by telling everyone about what is the Greenbelt Alliance.
Okay, well, thank you. Yes, I'm very excited to be here and to have met you. And yes, I am the regional director for the North Bay for Greenbelt Alliance. So I'm covering Sonoma as well as Napa, Solano, and Marin counties. And Greenbelt Alliance is a regional nonprofit organization based in San Francisco that has worked in the nine Bay Area counties for more than 50 years. It's always been a regional group based in the Bay Area. And one thing that is so great and interesting about Greenbelt is that it works to protect both open space and green belts, including ag lands, but also advocating for city-centered growth, smart growth, so that we can develop and improve, you know, walkable, bike-friendly, thriving neighborhoods around the Bay Area and prevent sprawl.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about, like, what is smart growth? Because I feel like that's a term that we hear, like, kind of thrown around a lot nowadays.
Right. Well, smart growth is just kind of a generic term, and what it really means is that we need to think about how and the ways that we grow, and that's one of the things that Greenbelt does is help shape the policies locally and at the regional level. For example, in Sonoma County, we're very fortunate because this county is ahead of the game on a lot of fronts. two really important policies are the urban growth boundaries around all nine of our cities, including the city of Sonoma.
And that kind of explains, you know, is the reason that, like, you have the city center and then a green open space farmland before you reach the next city center, right?
Exactly. So in the companion measures, so the urban growth boundaries contain the edge of the city, and we say all our houses, our businesses, our schools, our stores are all basically going to be within the urban growth boundary. And then on the outside of those, that's where we have our open space and ag lands. And in Sonoma County, we have the community separator policies. And these have created green belts between our towns and cities that can't be subdivided. And that has held back sprawl in our county for more than 20 years.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think it's, you know, a lot of either just tourists coming through or people that relocate here, that one of the things that they love so much about Sonoma County is just that, is that you have a dense, you know, downtown area, but then you can drive 5-10 minutes and you feel like you're in an extremely rural area.
Exactly. And hopefully be able to ride your bike too or walk.
Yes, that is continuing to be worked on.
Yes, exactly.
And so then, you know, we keep using the term open space, but what exactly does that mean, and is that the same thing as farmland?
Well, again, open space is a general term, and it basically means land that is not developed. So we have all different types of open space, and farmlands and ranch lands, agricultural lands are open lands for the most part, because that's where we grow things or where cattle graze. And we also have our parks, of course. Parks would be open space, protected areas, preserves. So basically anywhere where we don't have a lot of development.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so recently you guys have been extremely very busy on a report. And I just saw, you know, it come out recently, the homegrown report. And so what is that? Why? For a farmer, it's a fascinating read. But
oh, great. Well, yeah, I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. So, yes, what Greenbelt has just released our new report called Homegrown, and it focuses on what are the barriers to maintaining local food production in the Bay Area, and what are some of the solutions and models that we have around Bay Area. So it's like a toolkit to share, because, for example, in Sonoma County, we have certain policies like the urban growth boundaries and the community separators that maybe they don't have in Solano or Santa Clara. And Solano and several other counties have the farm budsman. So that is somebody who helps local farmers get through regulatory and planning challenges. So mm-hmm. what we're trying to do is inform policymakers, get this in the hands of ranchers and farmers, and also the foodies and the public out there, so they can really understand that when they have a delicious plate of organic lettuce, you know, how important it is to make sure that we have land to grow it.
Yeah, and I think what I really liked about the report was that it got right into addressing some of the challenges, because I think as people who are not farmers or not closely involved in the farming community, they look around Sonoma County with these lovely, you know, open space areas and these farmlands, and they see it and they're like, "Whoa, like, look at all this farmland. There's, you know, we all like local food. It, you know, it should be a why aren't there more farm businesses, or why are there farm businesses going out of business?" You know, and so I think it's really good that this, you know, kind of points out that it's not all, it looks beautiful, but it's not all super idyllic. So what are some of the challenges for agriculture in this region?
Well, I think land conversion and land costs. So that is number one on our list of barriers. And it also applies to a lot of us. We know that costs are high here in the Bay Area and Sonoma County. Why don't I just run down the
right
list?
Go right ahead, yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
So, and then we can touch on whichever one you think we should. So two is regulatory challenges. We do have in California important environmental and other standards that everyone must meet, but sometimes it's a bit difficult to get through those, especially if you're a small-scale farmer. Barrier three, conflicts between landowners. owners for new farmers and ranchers. How do they get onto the land? And I'm sure you can relate to that. 5, accessing regional markets. And 6, funding.
Yeah. So, why don't we just jump into the high cost of land? So, you know, I hear a lot from people, you know, that it's like, well, this is a great, you know, region. This is a great part of the country. Everyone wants to live here. You know, simple supply and demand. Land is high.
Yeah.
So how do we address that from the farmland perspective? Mm-hmm. Because if land is always going to the highest bidder, you know, if that's just the supply and demand, then I hope it wouldn't shock most people that most farmers would not also be the highest bidder.
Right. And there's always, or especially in the Bay Area, there's always development pressure on the farmlands, especially lands around the edges of our towns and cities, because that for a lot of people makes sense. That's mm-hmm. where we should grow. But there are a couple of things on that front. One, we can grow and we will grow, and we can grow within the footprint of our towns and cities. I mean, that's pretty clear. I mean, in Sonoma County, there have been more than 10,000 units that have been approved for construction in our towns and cities and our development areas that haven't been built. And that's mm-hmm. a whole nother discussion as to why they haven't been built, but it's not because we've protected our green belts. There are a lot of other
reasons.
Yeah,
it's not because there's not space or land available for appropriate development, right?
Exactly. There is room, there is space, there are costs. We lost redevelopment funding, which has helped for many, many years to produce affordable housing. So, you know, that's a challenge, but we do have that possibility. And then around the edges, then we need to look at different policies, because ag land is important to us. It provides us food and other services. It's also, you know, protects the air and the water in some cases. So mm-hmm. it has a lot of, there are many reasons why we need to protect ag land and open space. So when it comes to policies, there are a number of different things. Now, one of the things that we do here in Sonoma County, for example, conservation easements. So we have the Agricultural Preservation Open Space District, and we all, you know, pay a quarter cent tax.
Yeah, and is that tax on our, that's like on your income tax?
It's
a sales tax. Mm-hmm, right, okay, mm-hmm. So it's for, you know, every time you have any transaction, you're having that sales tax. And so not every county, that's something that the voters voted in for Sonoma County.
Right, right. And we were one of the first to do that. And so we're very fortunate that the open space district can go to a farmer that's maybe being pressured to sell for development and say, look, we will purchase your development rights, we will put a permanent conservation easement over this land so that you can stay in business, we all can benefit, and it removes some of that development pressure. So that's one way to do it. It's a very good way to do it, but you can't buy up everything, right?
Right.
It's just impossible, and we don't want to do that. So then we need to look at policies. Agricultural zoning and our general plan is one way to do it.
Because do we not have that?
We do have that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, so, because I know you have, like, the incorporated cities within Sonoma that make their own regulations, and then there's the unincorporated area that's just general, kind of Sonoma County. So
right.
There is ag zoning in throughout the county, isn't there?
Yes, there is ag zoning throughout the county. So we kind of have the foundation for that, and Sonoma County has a good general plan. But then there are other policies that could be overlaid over that. For example, there's another governmental body that not too many people have heard of, and I never heard of it until recently, is a local agency formation commission. And what they do is approve whether or not a city can expand and add land into the urban growth boundary or provide services. So if there is a situation where a city wants to bring ag land into a city, then this commission can set standards for, okay, if you're taking ag land away, then you need to mitigate that either by protecting land elsewhere. Mm-hmm. For example, in Yolo County, there's a standard for every acre of farmland that is annexed and brought into the urban area, they have to offset it with 3 acres somewhere else that will be permanently protected. So that's just one example.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really interesting because, I mean, with dealing with the limited amount of housing in the Bay Area, it's like it's all this pressure to increase housing. And so, and a lot of, and increase, you know, people want to live within the city limits and everything. So what is, I guess, you know, here in Sonoma County, what's kind of in, is there any good examples of what has been happening in the past? Because I know looking at, I did not grow up in Sonoma, but looking at old maps of Sonoma, you see, like, even just for example, like the city of Sonoma was not as always big as it is landmass wise.
Right. Well, I mean, there is a slow creep, and that's why it's really important right now to support the policies that we have and to support the extension of the community separator policies, the urban growth boundaries that need to be renewed. And then, you know, there may be other ways that we can amend the general plan to make sure that that creep does not continue.
And so by people supporting that, is that something that occasionally gets voted on, or is that something that you need to let, like, your, you know, county supervisor know that you support? Like, kind of where is it that those things, the decision to change those could occur?
Well, really both. I mean, it's kind of a two-way street. It's both top-down and bottom-up. So the original urban growth boundaries in Sonoma County, as well as the community separators, well, the urban growth boundaries were put on the ballots of all the cities by the citizens. And there were a lot of battles to be had to get those passed, but now they're very well accepted and very popular. So we do need to vote on them. We need to make sure that they get renewed, but it won't be as big as a battle as it was the first time around. The community separators, those were put on the ballot by the Board of Supervisors 20 years ago, and we will be voting in November of this year to renew the protections for those policies. And then the other thing is for, you know, farmers to get together and present ideas, you know, bottom up to the Board of Supervisors. And that's one of the things that Greenbelt Alliance really wants to do, is to learn from local farmers and ranchers. What do they need, and what are some of the policies that we can work together on to prevent sprawl and to make sure that ag remains economic. You know, economically feasible, particularly food production.
Right, right. Well, on that note, we're going to take our first station break.
Oh, the book lover's heart. It's too healthy for words.
And the nature lover's heart, it flies high with the birds.
But the heart of someone with pulmonary hypertension, often misdiagnosed as asthma, is unbearably stressed and can fail. At the Pulmonary Hypertension Association, we want PH patients to have
a heart that is strong for a life rich and
We're putting our heart into finding a cure. Learn more at phassociation.org. That's phassociation.org.
Programming for KSVY is brought to you in part by Myers Financial, Body Best Collision Center, and Tina Schoen, Broker Associate, Sotheby's.
Welcome back to Sustainable Growing. My guest is Terry of Greenbelt Alliance, and today's show is about protecting open space and farmland. So before the break, we were talking about kind of historically how the Greenbelt Alliance has helped to facilitate the green belts that are around the urban centers in Sonoma County, and the current work that the Greenbelt Alliance has been doing with this recent report called the Homegrown Report, which talks about challenges with agriculture in the North Bay.
Yes.
Yeah. So you had mentioned a little earlier about when I had asked about how to deal with the high cost of land here in the Bay Area in regards to allowing it to remain in farmland. And you mentioned conservation easements. Can you briefly tell us what is a conservation easement and how it affects land use, I should say?
Yes, well, a conservation easement is an agreement between a willing, you know, rancher, farmer.
Landowner.
Landowner, exactly, with another entity. It could be the Open Space District. It could be the Sonoma Land Trust. I mean, really, the Sonoma Land Trust is an expert on on this. They do this all the time, and they enter into agreements with the land owner, and basically the development rights, or what the land might be worth if it were subdivided or developed in some way, is then purchased by the entity, like the land trust or the open space district, and then that property is protected in perpetuity. So you have a conservation easement, which might be more for conservation reasons. You have ag easements, which are might have requirements that it stays in a certain level of farming production. Mm-hmm. There's also the Williamson Act, which is another mechanism that's actually a state mechanism, but it applies to lands in the county. It's a similar type of policy where for 10 years the land must be kept in agriculture, and then there's a payment for the rights that would have been the cost of developing that land, basically.
Yeah. So when I've seen, the land trust signs sometimes pop up on it, and with doing the conservation easements or any type of easement, a lot of times it's still privately owned, mm-hmm, the property is then privately owned by someone. But, as a farmer, I feel like, I'm going around and I'm looking, and you can kind of see like telltale signs of like a commercial farm operation versus maybe someone that has, more of a hobby. They got, six goats isn't really a commercial operation, but, they're using the land and stuff. So how can it be made sure that the easements are used for the benefit of a working, making it working land, working farmland?
Well, it's part of the agreement between the holder of the easement and the owner of the mm-hmm. property. So it's a legal document, and the holder of the easement would, make sure and check in with the property owner. Is that what you mean? To make sure that they continue to do that.
And would it be perhaps certain types of wording? Because I'm imagining if someone just says, if the easement were very general and was like, you need to conduct agricultural activities, having six goats would be technically, doing agricultural activities, but that's not, say, producing, food for the community.
Right. Well, I think there are a number of different types of easements. So mm-hmm. it really depends on the nature of the particular agreement, where the land is, what it's being used for now in the future. Same with Williamson Act. The land is supposed to stay in ag. But sometimes it is compromised. Like someone mm-hmm. who is not really a farmer or an ag person might want to buy beautiful piece of land and has the money to do so, and might come in and realizing it's under Williamson, just keep some cattle out there grazing, and then when the Williamson 10-year term ends, then they can go ahead and build their dream house there.
Yeah.
So these are some of the things that we need to think about. And
when this report was being worked out, I mean, was it being found that some of these protected farmlands weren't really working farms? I mean, what were kind of the findings?
Well, I don't think we were delving into mm-hmm. that subject in particular. I think we were really looking at what can we do proactively with policies and working with county and local government to make sure that land is not converted from an ag use into an urban use. So that was kind of the focus of this report.
Yeah.
In addition to the cost of land, we talked a bit about, like we mentioned earlier, getting help for the local, farmers and ranchers that are active and want to stay in business to make sure they're meeting regulatory challenges along the way.
Yeah, so why don't we go into how to address regulatory challenges? Because, I mean, there's always a lot of paperwork in doing any type of, business or entrepreneurship. So what did you find in the report?
Well, having someone at the county, for example, who is dedicated to helping the agricultural community navigate, like finding out what permits do they need, what, you know, how to fill out the forms even, or having mm-hmm. someone to help. Because I've heard folks say, I think one of the meetings that you and I were at, Farmers Guild meeting, which is actually, just to sidetrack for a moment, the Farmers Guild is a really great model that is highlighted in
I saw that. There's a little piece on it. I like it.
Yeah, and that brings together young farmers around, you know, the Bay Area to come up with some of these solutions. And we did talk to them, to the Farmers Guild and Evan Wigg and others. So, yeah, just having someone on your side at the county can make a huge difference.
I was amazed because when I read that in the report, it was like Solano County and one other county had this farm, what do they call it?
Farmbudsman.
It's a very fancy name.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, there are so many times where, like, I've gone to this, you know, Sonoma County Ag Commissioner's office and they're like, yeah, you need this form. And I kind of come, you know, I fill it out to the best of my ability. And I'm like, is this what you want? Because it's so, I know this happens in other businesses too, but like the terminology that they're using is sometimes tricky because it's like this blanket, you know, they've given you a blanket form for any and all farming operations. So it kind of might, certain things sound weird to like a vegetable grower and other things sound weird to like a, you know, cattle rancher or something like that. And so I was kind of like, what, in Solano County? Like, somebody, like, helps to, like, take the time to explain it?
Exactly. So that can make a huge difference.
And that is a funded position. I mean, that's a county-level employee, right?
Exactly. And it seems like in Sonoma County, where there is huge support for maintaining agricultural mm-hmm. of all types, and you do have people at the county who are very well versed in ag, but to have somebody, you know, in that role seems like a reasonable thing to do.
Well, and particularly when I think pretty much anyone involved in agriculture, both on the ground and in policy and stuff like that, realizes that we need more farmers and we need more young farmers to replace the aging farm population. So it's like that seems to be a piece to the puzzle to help address getting more farmers farming, right?
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, there are a couple of interesting things that are happening in Sonoma County because they're somewhat new, they're also somewhat controversial. For example, there's an incubator farm project that has been proposed by UC Cooperative Extension in a combination in partnership with the Open Space District on Open Space District publicly owned land in a community separator area just north of Rohnert Park. And so the idea is to have a model farm there where, you know, commercial farmers, I'm not talking about a community garden.
No, right.
Right. We'll come in, we'll learn a business plan, and we'll, you know, be able to work there for a period of time, you know, maybe
right.
1 to 3 years.
Operating their own independent businesses. Yeah,
right.
Before they blossom onto bigger,
exactly.
greener pastures. But I mean, again, I'm a farmer, so I'm like, that sounds great. What's the controversy with that?
Well, you know, I went to one of the community meetings, or they had several last week on that, and a lot of there are quite a few neighbors that are very concerned about it because they've lived there for a long time next to the community separator. It's open land. It's been used for hay fields. Mm-hmm. It's used for grazing, so it is zoned ag. It's been an ag. But now we're talking about a more active use, maybe row crops, maybe people will be out there working, mm-hmm. maybe there will be outhouses for the workers. And so, you know, just the idea of change and seeing something different.
So they're worried about just like noise or...
Mm-hmm. Noise, smells.
Yeah. Which is, you know, really interesting because I think that, you know, that at the same time... In this region, you have such a strong desire for local food and visually to see farms. And so then to have when people sometimes are around a working farm, it doesn't always fit into their idea of what they thought a working farm was. You know, they flip through the magazines and they see these idyllic farms. Oh, wouldn't it be great to live next to one of them? And then they're like, well, the tractor's starting at 6 a.m. It's kind of loud. So, Can you talk about how some communities have put into place, I believe it's called like the right to farm or the, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, Sonoma County has a right to farm ordinance. So if there's a farm there and someone moves in later, and or there's a subdivision put in later, then, you know, the farmer has a right to continue to do what that farmer was doing. At the same time, I think there's it's important, and that's one of the things that we pointed out, for, you know, farmers and landowners and neighbors to get together and, you know, come to some, you know, negotiate over what's going on. But ultimately, the farmer has the right to continue farming. And I think on this incubator project, I think that's what's going to happen once everyone understands, and maybe the plans for the farm will maybe be slightly changed, you know, to accommodate some of the concerns of the neighbors, and ultimately it will be a benefit for everybody to have that farm there.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not, those right to farm ordinances are really nice because, you know, it gives... People say stuff to farmers, you know, like why, you know, like your pigs are attracting flies, and now I have all these flies in my backyard, or, you know, like these things, and it, you know, and or like I can, when the wind blows a certain way, I can smell, you know, the manure from the pigs, and it's kind of like, well, right, I mean, those are pigs, like, I don't know, you know, like, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. So to be able to have, like, this ordinance that, like, you feel a little bit protected, that you're not going to, you know, have to deal with someone going to the county, you know, getting on your case for, you know, doing just, but they want to eat local bacon, so, right, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so I was just going to say that's part of the reason, too, why it's good to have agricultural buffer zones, which are in the zoning in some areas, so that, you know, you've got your city, you've got your green belt, and then the farms are maybe further off. So you can avoid those kind of interactions, mm-hmm, too.
Yeah. So, you know, over the last, I would say, probably 5 to 10 to 15 years, you've seen an increase in like farmers markets and an increase in the general population being more aware of where their food comes from, or that, you know, or local sustainably grown food is important. So in this region, have we seen farmland loss, or are we in, because I'm meeting a lot of new farmers, but I don't know if they're increasing the acreage of farmland?
Yeah, well, that's a very good question. What we do know is that Bay Area-wide, for the 9-county mm-hmm area, we've lost about just over 200,000 acres of ranching and farmland in the Bay Area.
And what's the timeline?
Since 1984. So that's mm-hmm quite a long time. So it's slowly but surely being developed. Fortunately, in Sonoma County, Marin County, we have very strong policies to protect ag land. So, you know, there have been losses. We want to prevent more losses. I don't know how you would create more ag land.
Yeah, that was going to be like one. I'm always curious. I ask people because it's like, how, you know, because once something does, it's good to have those stringent policies to try to limit the amount of loss of farmland, because once something gets paved over, it pretty much never gets unpaved.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, just thinking ahead, I mean, maybe we need to talk to some of the other sectors in the agricultural community, like the wine grape growers. And we all know that cannabis is going to be coming mm-hmm down the road, and you know, there's going to be more growing. I don't know if it's going to be indoors, outdoors. That's a whole nother subject. But maybe we all need to talk about, hey, let's dedicate some of those acreages to food crops.
I think this brings up a really good point, because it's kind of like we're talking about agriculture in general, but there is a difference between growing food, you know, that's another slice of the agricultural pie, because, you know, yeah, wine and beer, those are all agricultural crops.
Yes.
But and they're all very nice and enjoyable, but at right the end of the day, like, you need food to eat to have a sustainable community.
Yeah, and the homegrown report is focused on food, and that's why, you know, some of the recommendations about the farmer's market, more UPIC, more direct sales to the community is something that helps a lot of young farmers. There are going to be some open houses and events coming up where people can actually go out and look at some of the farms and get an idea of where, you know, where they're located.
This you want to mention the CSA farm open house coming up?
Yeah, on Saturday, March 5th from 1 to 5 p.m. It's being sponsored by Community Alliance for Family Farmers or with Family Farmers. And on that day, there will be farm tours at various farms around the Sonoma County, so you can go online. It's a CSA farm open house. So I found, since I've been working at Greenbelt Alliance, I've been meeting and talking to more farmers like you, folks at the Farmers Guild, and it's really interesting to see really the exciting things that the farmers are doing to make the crops more sustainable, organic, and the demand continues to go up. So it makes sense for us to get to know them and support them.
Yeah. I totally support that statement. And on that note, we're going to take our last station break.
Programming for KSVY is brought to you in part by Larbre Automotive, Myers Financial, and Tina Schoen, Broker Associate, Sotheby's. This health moment is brought to you in part by Sonoma Valley Hospital.
It's important to take an active role in your health care. Research shows that patients who have good relationships with their physicians and communicate well are more often satisfied with their care. To accomplish this, be proactive in providing your doctor with personal information. Then listen carefully and ask questions if needed. Don't leave your appointment until you feel you understand everything that was discussed. Make notes if you need to, and follow up later if you have more questions. Your symptoms change, or you did not get the results you expected. Clear and honest communication with your physician is important to getting the care you need.
Welcome back to Sustainable Growing. My guest is Terry of Greenbelt Alliance, and today's show is about protecting open space and farmland. So before the break, we were, you know, just going through the different challenges that farmers have in the Bay Area and what this report addresses. And you did mention that the homegrown report was focused on growing food.
Yes.
As opposed to other types of agriculture, like wine. but I was wondering, it's such a, I think it's very interesting, both for, it's a nice read, but for someone that is a farmer, and I really felt that, like, you know, you really touched on all kind of aspects of challenges and, you know, some surprising solutions that have come out through the works over the years. So, but how did you guys conduct this report? How did you go about doing it?
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, Greenbelt Alliance, and by the way, people can get the report and look at it on our greenbelt.org website and then just search for homegrown. So the Greenbelt team, including our program directors in San Francisco and our researchers and various interns along the way, went to each of the different counties and spoke, you know, to people in Santa Clara, Solano, you know, Sonoma, Napa, Marin, and talked to the farm bureaus and talk to the agricultural commissioners, talk to the land trusts. So we had like focus groups where we got a few people together and interviewed them. There were quite a few one-on-one interviews. And then we also did a lot of research into the different counties' regulations governing agriculture and some of these other agencies like LAFCO. And so we went through this process gathering information and then trying to determine which tools were really the best, you know, what was really working. One thing that was interesting was we started out trying to see where the gaps were. Like, is there some huge policy or something that all of us has missed that we need to do? But what we actually found was, no, there isn't any one kind of silver bullet that people have not been, you know, finding, because people, you know, are smart. Farmers are smart. Everyone involved. But what we found was this mix and match of what different counties were doing in different places. And so we thought what would really be helpful is to bring it all together.
Did anything surprise you? Like, when you're doing the working on the report and the research, in the sense of like something that you maybe thought was working really well, but in the research found that it wasn't really addressing the challenges?
That's a very good question. Nothing comes to mind right at this moment. I mean, I think that, like, one thing that comes to mind that kind of came up when we were talking to people that wasn't necessarily in the report was, you know, there's a lot of large properties around Sonoma County and mm-hmm. around the Bay Area that are being purchased. And, you know, by wealthy people who mainly maybe don't live here. And we were thinking, you know, this is land that is just sitting there that could be used by a young rancher or farmer. So how do we communicate with those? I mean, those landowners. I mean, there is FarmLink, which I'm sure you're familiar with, mm-hmm. which does link up landowners with young farmers. And, you know, that has been successful, but a lot of people don't know about FarmLink. And so we're thinking maybe what we should be doing is talking to real estate agents who know the properties and know the property owners and help develop some kind of a mechanism for when people come into Sonoma County or other counties to buy land and maybe they don't want to farm it, even if it's ag zoned, but they would be willing, of course, willingness is the key, to let others you know, use this land and for a short-term basis or long-term basis. So we know that's been successful. And so that's just, you know, something that we might want to do.
Yeah, because it's interesting because I feel like a lot of times selling at the farmer's market or, you know, just kind of interacting with customers where they don't, you know, they might have land that they'd like to see in agricultural use that they own, but they have no idea, you know, where to start. And when you're like a farmer and like in the zone with all that kind of stuff, it's like, what? You don't know about this nonprofit and that nonprofit? But I wonder if it's like, because those right to farm ordinances, mm-hmm. you know, make it so like the real estate agent or the seller and buyer have to be notified that there is a farm within certain distance. So it's almost like if there was some type of, you know, like ordinance that they just had to be made aware of, you know, what to do with, you know, farmland.
Yeah, exactly. Some kind of a communication, a program that, yeah, whenever you're buying buying land or if you're going into the county, you know, they advise you and that actually there's some way of linking these folks up. So that's kind of like the next step.
yeah. And so when you were conducting this report and everything and, you know, collecting a lot of these numbers, had Greenbelt Alliance ever done a report like this before that they were able to kind of like compare like historical numbers or?
Well, yes, actually, I'm glad you bring that up because this is not, you know, Greenbelt's first foray into looking into ag lands and how we can make sure that they stay as farmlands and working lands. In 2011, we produced a report calling Sustaining Our Agricultural Economy, where that was more focused on the challenges, which are reiterated in this report. And even interestingly enough, back in 2004, so, you know, more than 10 years ago, Greenbelt worked with the Sonoma County Farm Bureau. And put out a report called I think it was Preventing Sprawl, outlining the policies in the areas that we actually have in common because we both want to protect ag land, we both want open space, we both want good policies. So, you know, it's an ongoing discussion and dialogue, and what's really important is that we keep these communications going and have mechanisms for doing it. So doing the report was, you know, trying to revive, you know, some mm-hmm. of these connections and to let the agricultural community know that Greenbelt does want to help. And we're hearing from you, but you also have to let us, you know
what you need
yeah. to help.
So how can the public get involved? You know, if they, you know, read this report and they, you know, it does a nice job of outlining the challenges and some of the solutions that have come up. But it's still, at the end of the day, is like, these are some big challenges that need to be addressed. So how can the public get involved?
Well, yeah, they are big challenges. They won't be solved overnight. I mean, there are some really simple things to do, which is to support the farmers, go to the farmers market and, you know, buy some lettuce. I think that's basic. you know, support, you know, the policies like the urban growth boundaries and the community separators. When you vote on them, vote yes. I mean, learning more and understanding more. For example, coming up on March 17th here in Sonoma County at the Luther Burbank Center, which has been called the Wells Fargo Center, but now is going back to Luther Burbank Center.
That.
Yeah, on March 17th, it's free and open to the public. It is during the day, where it will be kind of policy focused as to what's going on in Sonoma County about food policy wise. And there is a lot going on to try to connect farmers, people who need healthy food.
And this upcoming meeting on March 17th,
yeah,
right? It's the continuation of a meeting that happened a number of years ago. You know, it's kind
yes.
of a working towards a sustainable food systems plan for the county.
Right, yes. Yeah. It's being put on by the Sonoma County Food System Alliance. Thank you for reminding me of that. And that's an amazing, mostly professional network, but they really want anyone who's interested to come in here. I mean, there's like events like this weekend, the Farmers Guild is having its annual guild raising
right.
out in Sebastopol at Shone Farm. So you can go and learn about what the farmers are doing, just have fun, listen to music. I mean, I think it's like $15 for the day. So
yeah, they're doing a agrarian lovers ball in the evening. They got a great band and there'll be music and stuff like that. And I think that is a really good point, you know, because it seems like so often when I'm talking to customers, or even when I'm talking to elected officials, that they're just not aware of what, you know, is really happening with farmers at the, I was going to say at the ground level, but that's really true.
Well, yeah, and I personally, until I started delving into this myself, I didn't realize how little food is actually grown in Sonoma County. I mean, more than 90% of our food is brought in from Central Valley, Mexico, wherever,
mm-hmm.
and Sonoma County being known for its food, cheese, as well as its wine.
Right, but yeah, and that's where it's like when you see these numbers, when they're just these lump numbers of agricultural land, I feel like in our region it can be misleading because that's not, people think agriculture, they immediately think food, but there are other things other than food that are agricultural. But so what are kind of some future plans or future projects that Greenbelt Alliance is looking towards doing in the future?
Well, Greenbelt Alliance is a policy organization, so we will be primarily focused on policies as opposed to land purchase or anything along those lines. So again, the community separators policies are coming up. That's my main focus this year. And so we want to renew those and also add some additional community separator designations over ag and other land to make sure in perpetuity these are protected so people can get involved and make sure that they vote yes on those. And then I'm working on open space measures, like over in Napa County. There's going to likely be a sales tax measure next in November, where they will be funding a district similar to what we have here, so that they will have the funding to protect more open space land. So those are kind of the things that I will be working on. And then also making these connections, like working with the real estate. We did a mixer with the Sonoma County Farm Bureau last year that we'd like to do again. Communicating with other stakeholders and people and trying to build consensus where we have it and common ground into forward policies.
That's great. So what advice or words of wisdom would you give to someone wanting to learn more about smart growth and protecting open space? Where's a good place for them to start?
Well, start at thegreenbelt.org. Of course, our website has a lot of information. We're working on a regional basis as well as in the different counties. There is a lot going on. Of course, there's a lot going on in Sonoma County. There's lots of like, for example, right here in Boys Hot Springs, there's a new planning process for the community.
Right.
So that, if you are interested and live in Boys Hot Springs, you want to show up, you want to go to those planning processes. And that's happening in many places around Sonoma County, Roseland Village, you know, Petaluma. And then with the smart train coming down the track, there will be opportunities to put into place the area plans and affordable transit-oriented development. So even if you can't go to these meetings and be on the ground, you need to support them, write letters to your supervisors and your elected officials. That's kind of what it always gets down to, doesn't it?
Yep. So what is the best way for the public to get in contact with you?
Well, through the greenbelt.org website, or if you want to contact me directly, it's tshore@greenbelt.org.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Terry, for talking about protecting open space and farmland.
Thank you so much, Andrea. I really appreciate you having me on the show. It's been fun.
Great. Well, it's been a pleasure to have you on Sustainable Growing, and we'll have your contact info listed as well on our website, quarteracrefarmsonoma.com, and we'll be right back with today's Ask Andrea. Andrea, a little segment for all your gardening and farming questions. If you have a question for me, you may submit it through my Ask Andrea page at quarteracrefarmsonoma.com. Today's question comes from Sarah in Petaluma. I'm starting to see super cute baby sheep and goats in the fields nearby my house. I love stopping by the fence and visiting with the little babies. Is it okay to feed the little cuties a snack? Well, spring is a wonderful time of year filled with lots of baby farm animals. Stopping to view animals from a distance and taking photos is nice, but please do not feed the animals without permission from the farmer, because some animals could be on special diets. Respect the farm and stay on your side of the fence. Climbing over the fence and going into an animal's field can be dangerous for both you and the animals. If you are interested in getting up close and personal with farm animals, look into taking a working farm or ranch open house and schedule a farm tour. That's all for today's show. This is Andrea Davis-Satina of Quarter Acre Farm. Until next week, happy growing.